First, I want to just welcome anybody visiting from out of town for this 4th of July weekend. Welcome to St. Francis of Assisi. I don't know if it's going to rain today or not, but it's going to be humid. It's always humid here. So welcome. We're glad to have you. You've maybe seen the movie The Shawshank Redemption. It's a great film. It's at the same time a very hard film to watch. The story about this is by Stephen King. And the story is about a man who is imprisoned for a crime that he claims he did not commit. And this film has great insights, I think, into the concept of freedom. That's a theme that runs throughout. Throughout the movie, we see the main character in prison coping with his loss of external freedom because he's incarcerated while he's in the prison. But all the while, we notice that as the film moves along, he starts growing in interior freedom. Interior freedom. So one of the great insights that we have from this movie is the importance of both external and internal freedom. And we all long for that. We all long for that. And that need for freedom is hardwired into who we are. God created us to be free. He came to set the prisoners free. And our founding fathers of this country recognized that God-given need for freedom in the Declaration of Independence. In the preamble, remember, we hear, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Liberty, or freedom, then, is one of our gifts from God that we deserve, rightly so. But I think it's important to define what freedom is before we talk about it. What is freedom, then? Blessed John Paul II said that freedom, very simply, is doing what we ought to do. Doing what we ought. Which sounds a little bit different from what our culture tells us, right? What the evil one speaks through our culture very often and tells us lies. And says that freedom is doing whatever we want, whenever we want, with whomever we want. But we know that true freedom, lasting freedom, means that I'm not a slave to my impulses. In some ways, I have control over myself. And that my impulses don't control me because I'm not an animal. I'm a human being. And we know what happens, too, when freedom is abused. When freedom becomes licensed, doing whatever we want. We look at some of the well-known celebrities that have been in the news. I think of people like Charlie Sheen or Lindsay Lohan, God bless them. Many people would say they're very free, but do they seem free to us? What was once freedom is now license and slavery for them. St. Paul preached a gospel of freedom for us, and his gospel of freedom, everything he wrote, dealt in some way with fulfilling our great desire for freedom, for liberty, for fulfilling our deep human need to have free hearts, to be unattached, unbound by things that are passing in this earth. And today's second reading is a great example of his gospel of freedom. Today he deals with the body and says we're not to live in the flesh. And what is at the heart of this message, and I think it's we have to be very clear about this, is that God created us both as body and soul. We're not just bodies, and we're not just souls. To believe that we're just souls and reject the body is angelism, and it's a heresy. Heresy alert. We're both. Both body and soul. And that's the way that we encounter other people. Through our bodies. That's how we come to know other people's souls, through that encounter of our body. And how true that is, especially in the marital act, When a man and a woman give themselves, their whole selves, body and soul, to each other. Freely, completely, and totally. And they become one in body and soul. And this holy, awesome gift from God demands something of those involved. To freely give their whole self away and not hold anything back. But unfortunately, as we know, the culture of death often lies to us and tells us that we don't need to give our whole self away to our spouse, that we can hold back part of ourself, that somehow if we can just control our body, have control over it like it's a machine, that we'll be happier, that we'll be freer, the life will be better. And we know that's not the case. That's a lie. That's the lie behind the sexual revolution, much of it, and especially of artificial birth control. That freedom is doing what I want, whenever I want. And we know that's not true. And the problem with artificial birth control is it separates the unitive, that which brings the couple together, and the procreative parts of marriage. It separates them. Basically, a person saying, I want to give myself to you, well, not completely. I'm going to hold back part of myself. On this topic, Pope Paul VI, in 1968, right after the pill had been invented, wrote an important letter called Humana Vitae on the meaning and dignity of human life. And he made four predictions, four warnings of what might happen if contraception became widespread. Okay, here are the four predictions that he warned about. First of all, he warned that widespread use of contraception would lead to marital infidelity and the lowering of morality. And we know that's come true, hasn't it? Nearly 50% of our marriages sadly end in divorce. Many people struggle just to be faithful. They try very, very hard, and it's so hard in this culture. So, marital infidelity and a general lowering of morality. We know that that's happened. The second prediction, that man would start using women as objects and no longer care for her needs. Her physical needs, her psychological needs. She would become an object for self-enjoyment. That's happened. Sex is no longer a powerful symbol of a man and a woman coming together, a sanctifying union. It's now the topic of talk shows and soap operas and sitcoms. And it's just a right now. It's not a gift. It's a right. So that's come true, that we've lost respect for women as a culture and not cared for them as we should. And I dare say the same is true, that we have lost respect for men as well and not taken care of them. The third prediction that Pope Paul VI made is that the widespread use of contraception would become a dangerous weapon in the hands of people that don't have a moral compass. And that's come true already in China. We know that they're forcing contraception on people, limiting births. That's come true. And his last prediction about what would happen if contraception became widespread was that we as human beings would think that our body is ours to just control, that we have unlimited domain over our body, and that anyone that says anything else is an enemy. But we don't own our bodies. They're a gift from God. And we know that that has come true, obviously, in our culture. And the question then is, what do we do as a culture to work back to a culture of life where men and women are respected as equal partners, where children are seen as a gift and not a right, or a burden? How do we work toward that? And obviously, artificial birth control is not the only issue in our fight for life, but it's one that the devil is using very well. Birth control is just one way that we limit our freedom. And the question this morning for us is, what is it in our life that is limiting our true freedom from living as disciples, from living as we ought, as John Paul II said? What is it in our life that God needs to free us from? And in order to be free, though, we have to follow our gospel today. And we hear about the humility of Jesus, and we realize that Jesus is not going to force healing on us. He's not going to force us to be free. We have to say yes to that freedom. And what a great gift we have in the sacrament of reconciliation, in which we humbly come before Jesus Christ, acting in the person of the priest. And we humbly ask for forgiveness. We ask for freedom. So often I hear people say things like, "Wow, Father, I feel more free now. I feel like a weight has been lifted off of my back. This is the best I've felt in years. I feel free." That word free comes out a lot after a confession. What are the areas of my life in which I want to be free? Because Christ wants me to be free. The church wants me to be free. But do I want to be free? And so we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, give us free hearts to better serve you each day. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.